listening to the Afro Blush podcast, a show about celebrating and debating Pan-African culture and lifestyle. I'm Louisa, and on today's Meet the Makers, I'm speaking to my girl, Tolly T.
Hey!
Beauty and lifestyle writer at BuzzFeed, and one of the four queens on my favourite podcast, The Receipts Podcast.
Hey!
So, Tolly, I've been listening recently. Are we dropping the tea or not in this conversation?
The thing is, okay, the only reason why there is a tea was because Tolly solely wasn't on social media.
Okay.
So that's the only reason why there is a tea.
Okay.
Otherwise, it would just be Tolly. So Tolly's been, I always say, people that call me Tolly have either just met me or have known me for years.
Okay.
So it's one of them, like, it was my nickname when I was really young. Mm-hmm. It's called Tolly. I don't know why. I don't know who gave it to me. And then there was, do you know that bag of rice called Tolly Boy?
No.
So there's a bag of long grain rice, I'm sure. And I really like rice. So I think that's where it stemmed from. It was a long way around called Tolly Boy, and they used to call me Tolly, and it was Tolly Baby, and then now it's just whatever you want it
what
to be.
What other names have you had growing up, or is that kind of...
It's Tolly, and till this day, my sister still calls me Dashiki, and there's a reason to that. Have you ever watched Don't Be a Menace to Society?
Yeah.
So there's a character called Dashiki in that.
Yeah, I think I've
And she was
vaguely.
Wild. Like, her mouth was wild. And I remember the guys in school used to be like, yeah, you look Dashiki. So till this day, I'm the same, my sister's phone is Dashiki. If I call her, oh, Dash, Dashiki, that's what she calls me until this day.
Okay.
And that's come from secondary school. So yeah, from Tolly, Dashiki. And that's it, that's all my nicknames actually.
Okay, all right. But you've said people that know you or people that don't know you.
Yeah, so if you just know me from social media, you call me Tolly.
Okay.
Because that's what I refer to myself to on social media. But if you're in the middle and you just know me from school, you won't call me Tolly, you call me Talani.
Mm.
So I have one friend that calls me Tolly, and it's because she's known me from
ages ago. Okay.
And then it's the new people that know me from social media, know me from Instagram, all the receipts that will call me Tolly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you work as a beauty and lifestyle writer at
BuzzFeed.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
How did you get there? So what's your, how did you end up
there? You know what? I think people ask this question and they think there's going to be some magic trick. I'm like, oh, it was God. I'm not even going to lie to you guys. It was sheer prayer, persistent, unpaid work experience, interning, experiencing. So before I was at BuzzFeed, I was at an online magazine called So Feminine. Mm-hmm. So I was a food and beauty writer, which is very random there. So I was there for a year. And when I went there, because I was in a magazine before that, I was in a beauty magazine before that, as assistant there. And I left the beauty magazine because I was like, I need to get out of print. Like, it was starting, like, things were happening. A lot of magazines were shutting down. Mm-hmm. Company just shut down. And I was like, oh, I don't think print is going the way
it
should be going. So, okay, I need to get online. So I went to say Feminine as a, this is going to be my ladder.
Mm-hmm.
I said to myself, I'm going to spend a year here and I'm going to move on to something else. It's going to be my experience and doing online magazines. So I was there for exactly a year and then handed in my notice. No, exactly a year and I got a job at BuzzFeed.
Okay.
And then I handed in my notice and left. And they've been so happy to hand in my notice in my whole life. Even in a meeting, I was like, oh yeah, I've got good news, guys. I'm going to BuzzFeed. Like, it's been great here.
Yeah.
Thank you. But yeah, so it was a case of like, I just applied. I didn't know anybody there. It wasn't a hooker. I literally just applied for a job role. I prayed about it. And also, because I was always like, there's no one like me at BuzzFeed. I can't apply to BuzzFeed. Like, who is like me? I imagined it to be like, I say they all know I say this. I imagined it to be like, just kind of like, people that watch Harry Potter and Game of Thrones.
Right.
And I don't watch either of those, nor will I ever plan to.
Okay.
So I was just like, that's not my scene. That's not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lady that works there who is one of, she doesn't even know it, but she's one of my like writing inspirations, Bim.
Okay.
Yeah, which I'm sure everybody knows.
Yeah,
yeah. So she worked there and I was like, actually, if she can work there,
So can I.
So I applied for a job there. I went to interviews as normal. Yeah, and I got the job. So it wasn't like I knew someone there or anything. It was, I came in there brand new as an outsider and got it.
You know, it's so important to see people like yourself in places.
Mm.
Otherwise, you just immediately put barriers up to opportunities that
you absolutely. And I think a lot of black writers do that sometimes. Like, oh no. Or not even just black writers, just people like, oh, I'm not represented there. Why can't you be that representation there?
True.
you start it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just apply and see what happens. And that was the case. It was a case of just apply, see what happens. And it'd been my dream job role for ages. I read it. I regularly read the website. Mm. And I'd imagine the things I would do there. I followed the people that worked there. So it was like, it was nice.
Okay. And I've noticed, so I've read some of your articles and things on BuzzFeed, and I've come across them even just very organically.
Yeah.
And I noticed whilst a lot of them are quite general and applicable to all women, you do make a conscious effort to address certain things that involve all women of colour.
Yes.
And also are quite body positive.
Yeah.
So, like, I saw a particular article about what to wear if you've got big thighs. And I was just like, yes, hello.
Yeah.
Are you talking to me?
I always like to write things that, like, I experience. So it's a case of that, because I... Chub rub is a joke. It is a mad thing in the summer if you have big thighs. Seriously. And I cannot anymore. And I was just like, actually, this is a problem a lot of people go through. So why not write something that that people go through and people are going to relate to it?
Absolutely. And I equally found fascinating the article about the same lipstick but on different tones.
Yes.
Because I think particularly when you talk about nude, and even nude as a word, it's another conversation because nude is not colour.
Yeah.
But... sometimes people forget, brands forget that things are not applicable to certain people.
Yeah.
Was this, and also you featured MDM Flow, which was really cool. Is this something, an initiative that you have pushed and strived to do? And how much kind of flex and accessibility have you had to be able to kind of be body positive?
Yeah, I was very, very encouraged. Body positive is very, very, very encouraged. And it's something that I make an effort of doing, because I've always been a magazine reader. I've always been an online reader. I was that girl that used to buy Sugar magazine. In fact, my first work experience in year 10 was in Sugar magazine. Yes, okay. I've always been that person. So I've always read things. And I always want to write something that as a reader I can relate to. Mm-hmm. If I'm writing something and I know that as a reader this doesn't help me in any way, shape or form, I don't see the point of writing it.
Yep.
Because why can't girls like me have something that they can read? And why can't it be, and why do that? I don't want them to have to go look for it. Yeah. I want it to be in their face. I want it to be on a website like BuzzFeed. But it's just there. Like, you don't have to go to Upton Park to buy this niche magazine to see. Do you know what I mean? You can just see it on the wider scope, and you can just see it, and it's just there for you to see.
Absolutely. I don't think we should be having, particularly in 2017, to be looking in nooks and crannies.
Exactly.
To be able to find it.
It's not a niche.
Yeah.
And I don't think it should be a niche. So I make a conscious effort. Anything I write, I like to know that if I was a reader, I can get something out of that post.
100%. So I noticed that you went to uni in Brunel.
Yes, I did.
I'm from Uxbridge.
We walked. That was my uni. I feel like Brunel came out with so many great people went to Brunel. In terms of, like, I haven't even had BuzzFeed, I think about 5 of us went to Brunel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Like Brunel alumni. Where is it?
Yeah. Where are you from in London?
Dagenham.
Dagenham, okay.
So,
okay.
Which is like a 6 East London size, yeah. So.
And how did you find moving to West London? Was it completely...
Do you know what? Because you're on campus, you don't really live the West London lifestyle. So I never saw myself as living in West London.
Okay.
I lived on campus, and I lived 10 minutes from campus. So I didn't really, whoever I spoke to from that area, I went to my uni.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like it wasn't a transition from like East to West or whatever like that.
Okay.
And also Uxbridge is not that fancy, so.
It's really not. And I was actually thinking that you probably haven't missed out on
that. Yeah, so it's not like I was in like Kensington or anything. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
But like, it's as much of the shit I was thinking it is, to be fair.
So you've done quite a few internships to get you where you are.
Yeah.
And getting into media, generally speaking, is quite difficult, particularly to find a full-time gig.
Yeah.
What do you think that you learn, and what would you advise for people trying to break through media and also trying to transition out of the unpaid intern scenario?
I feel like it's changed a bit more now. So I don't know how much you can get away with not paying you. But I know when I was interning, it was a mess. So there was a time I was interning and I was working 7 days a week, because I was interning 5 days and I was working part-time at the weekends. So I'd intern 5 days and go to work part-time on the weekend, intern 5 days. And I remember one time I was going to my internship and I passed out on the train just because I was just generally so knackered. And the girl I was with was also going to the internship with me. So she called our bus to come and take me to hospital or whatever. So he took me in after they had a meeting. He's like, okay, cool. We're going to start giving you some more money. And I was like, yeah, because you might have seen that you're trying to kill me. So don't mind you giving
me
money.
To nearly die.
For you to start paying me. But in terms of what advice I'll give people, so in terms of having a big break, quote unquote, there was a woman that I'll never forget in my whole life called Julia Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the beacon in my career. She is like...
she really helped me. And with her, I was in an internship at a publishing house, which is where I worked for years. So I was, it was part of my uni degree. So I did like 3 months there, but I ended up staying there for like 2 years after that. Yeah. So there were 7 of us in that internship. And I think I was the only one that got a job out of it. Oh, and it wasn't because I was the smartest or anything like that. It was because I think a lot of people do interns, so it's just put it in a CV and get it over and done with.
Right.
But I think it's important to make yourself noticeable in that internship. So even how I got it, so I was interning at for a publisher, so I wasn't even part of the creative at all. Mm-hmm. And I heard an editor say she needed a taxidermy for a front cover.
Okay.
And it was for an Easter front cover, and she couldn't find one anywhere. And I remember one night I just stayed and I looked and looked and looked for this taxidermy. She wasn't talking to me, but I looked for this taxidermy. I found something I can get it. I got a quote from them, sent the email, sent the details, sent it to her, and then the next day she was like, oh my god, like, wow, thank you so much, blah 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 blah. And then she was like, okay, cool, come and be working with me for while you're here, what internship. Nice. So working with her, and then it was time to go back to uni. She was like, okay, why don't you stay here one day a week while you're still at uni. I did that, and then the publishers had the new magazine come out. It was a hair and beauty magazine, because this magazine that I was working on was Life and Living for 50 plus.
Okay.
So, and that's the thing, I think a lot of people, yeah, they wait for it has to be something they're interested in. I had no interest on working on this magazine whatsoever. It was so, well, I was like 20 something at the time, like it was just none of my interest at all. But I was like, no, it's fine, it's a step in. So when the publishers got a new, they got a new magazine, they won the new magazine deal, and I wasn't even in the office that day, and it was hair and beauty, and Julia went to them, she was like, you have to hire Talani for this role. Like, you have to hire her for the ed assistant. And that's how it happened. I moved, left her, went to the ed assistant in that magazine. I was there 3 days a week, and then I went full-time there. And then, yeah, so
wow,
we're just kinda,
so it's kind of just like going above and beyond.
Above and beyond.
And sometimes I suppose as well, not just thinking, what do I want to get, but maybe
what would
I
they get from
give.
It as well. Like, I am a strong believer of doing the utmost at all times. Like, you're not going to forget me, B. So even if it's a case of like, this didn't have a job at the end of it or whatever, something in the future, I remember that girl to learn it. Like, I like for people, I think it's just generally how I am in life. If you meet me, I don't want you to, oh, I don't know if I know that girl. Oh, like, no, you don't.
Okay, okay. You want to leave an impression.
You remember, you remember that you met me, that sort of thing. It's, and I think it's so important to do that in a workplace. Obviously, it has to be a positive impression, like, oh, she was really helpful. So don't just do it as just a stepping stone. Like, do it with your heart. Do it as if you are getting paid.
Yeah.
And, like, see whatever extra things that they need. Don't just, oh, they told me to do this, I've done it. Now what?
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, so moving on to the Receipts podcast.
Yes.
So I wanted to share something with you.
Go. Actually. I feel like everyone knows my whole life. So please do.
So when I was thinking, the whole idea about me starting a podcast came from a conversation that I had with a friend. And she was saying that I don't value my opinion enough.
Okay.
And that I shouldn't think that, I shouldn't put myself out there and say things and think that they're invalid or that they don't matter, because they do matter. And if they don't matter to me, then they certainly might matter to somebody.
Absolutely.
So in pursuit of not only just wanting to do something for the community, I also wanted to do something for myself as a therapeutic exercise to learn how to be more outspoken and to challenge things and to put my point of view across and to not just kind of be diplomatic and just be like, okay, you know, if you think that, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But then have strong opinions that are well-informed and well-rounded, but I'm only sharing them with my best and my closest. So for me, that was a bit of a journey, but I'm finding it easy, and every episode is a process, and I'm learning stuff about myself. And when I listened to the Receipts, I don't even know how I came. I think I just saw it in iTunes. It was bright pink.
Yes.
And I saw a brown hand. Yes. And I was just like, basically sold.
All thought about,
So I think that was the first episode that I tuned into. And the first thing I thought was, one, wow, you guys are talking about stuff that I can relate to.
Yeah.
But it's exactly as it says in your title, it's no filter. And I think that you ladies are incredibly brave because you do share things that are not easy to share.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I most certainly wouldn't even be at that point to be able to have that level of full disclosure. But that level of full disclosure enables people like myself to really listen to things and relate and to feel like I'm having a conversation. I think I wrote something about it and I said it's like having my girlfriends with me. So in my mind, we've already drank wine.
Yeah.
We have already gone out.
It's
happened.
And I think that's incredibly powerful. Yeah. And it's something that hasn't really happened before. And it's been transformative, not only in my life, but I imagine other people's lives too.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk to you about that kind of process of allowing yourself to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And how you find it, what have been the challenges, and also what have you learned and really gained from it?
Okay, so I've always been an outspoken person. I've never been... I'm someone I really like... Even if it's utter bullshit, I really believe in what I've got to say. Mm. So, like, I can spin things. So, I've always, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I can start off like, I don't really know what I'm talking about. But eventually, it sounds like I say with so much conviction that it sounds like I know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But so, I've always been quite an outspoken person. And I've spoken quite openly about my experiences. And although saying that, I've also been that person of, I didn't want anyone to think I was a mug.
Okay.
So, there were certain things that I wouldn't say out loud because I was like, oh, no, then people think of you elsewhere. People think of you differently. People think,
right,
oh, why did she let someone treat her like that? Obviously, yeah, my relationship.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Oh, she's such an idiot. Blah, 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 blah. And the reason, the way I got over it was like, this is my truth.
Mm.
So, like you said, you found it hard in terms of people, like you saying what your truth is and speaking your voice. But I was like, this is my truth and this is my voice. And who else is going to tell my story but not?
For sure.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm the only person that can tell my story. And this story seems to be what a lot of other people have gone through, if not the same, very, very similar. So why can't I tell that story? I can laugh about these things now. Yeah. These things are not... I mean, there's certain things that we talk about that are still quite current. There's still things that are hurting me now.
Mm.
But I'm a believer of, like, just not repressing things.
Has it been therapeutic for you?
Oh, absolutely. There were things, like, for example, the daddy episode. I didn't think that bothered me as much as it did.
Mm.
I did not go in, because when we said we were going to talk about it, I was like, yeah, it's cool, whatever. I did not for a second think I was going to cry or get emotional.
Yeah.
Like, it hit me. I was like, whoa, where did that come from? Yeah. Sort of thing. I didn't think I was that bothered. Didn't think it affected me so much. And obviously, I do it with amazing girls. Like, amazing girls. Yeah. Who probably know everything about my life now, so it's been quite nice to be like, let it all out through there and just let out and be able to like laugh at myself and actually feel my feelings, because I think a lot of us don't allow ourselves to really feel what we're feeling.
For sure.
Like, as soon as I just wash it off or just carry on whatever, so it allows me to really go into myself. And it's might sound very selfish, but I think it's necessary.
I agree. Is there anything that took you by surprise about yourself?
Do you know what it is? I think it's how people have taken me that's taken me by surprise. Because I honestly think I chat shit. and I'm like, why are you people buying this? Not chat shit as in like, because I'm like, how has no one called me out yet? Because
yeah.
I listen to things I said, I'm like, that is problematic.
Yeah, but maybe, but the thing is that we all chat shit. And yes, sometimes even in that, you relate to somebody who's doing it and you're like,
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think like it's been actually very, very nice to see how many people be like, oh my God, yeah, me too.
Mm.
And I think that's what surprised me. And I think one of the main reasons why we did it was that as girls, we go through all of these things and we're all so ashamed to say that that's happened to us. We're so like caught up in thinking, no, I think people are going to think I'm an idiot. But so many of us, no matter how beautiful we are, how slim we are, how big we are, how loud or quiet, we have so many shared experiences. And I felt it was just so important to have another girl say it. And I feel like if we're having a chat now, and once I told you about my issues, you feel free to say it to me as well.
For sure.
So it just allows open conversation. The things we see in our inboxes, even on Twitter, when people use that hashtag, it's like, oh my God, like people are speaking their truths. And it's just like this, like, we have these feelings. We're not one-dimensional. I can be a church girl. I can be a girl that sometimes I get horny. Sometimes I don't want to chat to guys. Sometimes I get the wrong attention from guys. Sometimes, like, it's okay to be more than one dimension.
Yeah.
And it's like, it allows a lot of girls to be like, oh my God, I didn't think I could say it out loud, but shit, I said it now. And it is what it is, and nobody died.
Absolutely. I mean, what are the kind of topics, I guess, the more you talk and say things, the more you think, oh my God, I want to say this, or I want to talk about that. We can talk about this forever. But are there any other topics that you're like bursting to talk about? And is there anything else that you think, oh, I'd love to cover this, I'd love to cover that?
I think there's a few that we definitely want to cover mental health.
Mm.
But because it's not something that we are well versed in, it's not something that any of us have studied, and we make a conscious effort if we're talking about things that we haven't experienced to get someone that's experienced it in.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, like, because it will just be pointless. I'm like, oh, this, like, just be talking out of our asses. So I think it's very important. And we definitely want to do that. We want to help people that have gone through it. We want to have an open conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we want to talk about. We want to talk about a lot of our issues. We want to talk about issues that are affecting women.
Yes.
Because that's so crucial.
But a lot of guys listen too.
So many guys listen.
Seriously.
Like a lot of guys listen, which surprised us.
And I think that they listen because men and women don't communicate
the way
they need to.
They don't have this conversation. Exactly. Yeah. And I've noticed it. I even notice it with us sometimes. When you are in a room with girls, what's talked about, and then when just let two guys come in, the vibe changes.
Absolutely.
Even the least hunter person turns into a husband hunter. Mm. She doesn't even realize she's doing it. She's like, yes, but when I cook my, and it's just like, okay, sis, we were just saying happy burnt rice. Like, so when did you become an expert cook? Yeah. You were just saying you burnt rice the other day. So,
no, it's so true.
Yes, I think it's for us, by us, and it's inclusive for us. And I think that's why maybe guys are into it, because they don't have to see through bullshit.
They get to learn about girls.
Yeah, they get to learn about girls and realise, oh, right, this is what girls are thinking.
Yeah.
And sometimes you hear a guy listen to it, even we have tased in the room, he was like, you guys have got this so wrong. Like, you're thinking too much into things compared to what guys do. So it's always quite interesting
and
to hear the two
sides. And I like those episodes, actually, where he comes in. It's quite nice.
Yeah.
Adds a new tone and a dynamic.
And I think a lot of guys like learn things from it as well. They're like, cool. Is that what girls like, or is that what girls don't like?
And even like three shots of tequila, it's just nice to listen to guys and be like,
exactly,
oh, okay.
Like,
right.
You guys noticed that? Things like that, absolutely.
So, who do you think would play you in a movie of your life?
Oh my God, that is a great question. Who do I think would play, or who would I like to play me? Oh, you see, I'm not a movie person. Oh, I do not know. I want to say, like, I don't know who the hell I think I am. I had the audacity to say this, but shit, whatever. Taraji P. Henson, I love her. I love her attitude.
That's a good shout.
And Baby Boy is still one of my favourite trash films in the world, because it's a bad film, but it's great.
Mm-hmm.
That would be amazing. I feel like she would get my loudness to a T.
Yeah, I think she would be great. I think that's a good shout.
But yeah, that would be... I'd say Rihanna, because I love Rihanna, but I know damn well she can't act. So I know she can't act for shit. So there is no point me saying that. I just genuinely love her.
I will go with Taraji P. Henson.
I think she'll be, Oh, it's such a good question. I've never thought of that. Imagine a film about me, that would be so bad.
Mm. And who are you listening to at the moment? Like, who's on your Spotify playlist?
Right now, I spent the whole day, literally the whole... I'm one of those people that I can listen to one song constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really old song. It's I Need a Girl Part 1. And that's basically Sten by P. Diddy. And that's basically Sten from an argument this morning. Of people believing that part two was better than part one.
Okay.
Which is a lie from the pit of hell, because part one is better. But in terms of current music, I'm listening to Shania Aiko a lot. Okay. I really vibe with her a lot. I feel like she puts me in a place where I haven't experienced in real life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because she's so zen.
The Weeknd does that for me. Like, I love The Weeknd, but I'm so not about that
life. Yeah, that's exactly what it is, Shania. I'm not about this lifestyle at all, but I like that you can make me imagine that I'm of that lifestyle, I'm into that lifestyle. And I'm so soppy when it comes to music. I love, like, love songs.
Yeah.
And slow
jams. I Need a Girl kind of told me
like,
that.
Like, I'm literally, it's not, my playlist is a joke. And it's a case of every other song will be Drake. Without a doubt. If you shuffle my phone, every other song, there'll be a Drake song in it. So, yeah, I love him. Who else am I really into? James Arthur.
Ah.
Very ridiculous. My ridiculousness gets worse every day. But I also love Afrobeats. Do you know what it is? Mm-hmm. Every so often, I remember, I forget how much of a G I am, and then my shuffle does stuff. And I'm
okay.
Like,
and then you're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
I am a musical genius. Because I can go from that to, like, Take Me Home, Backstreet Boys, to Foxy Brown, to Lil' Kim, and all things like that. So, yeah, I really like music. Music
is huge
for me.
But you're an R&B baby at heart, by
the way. Yeah, absolutely. And I really like hip-hop as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, one of my favourite songs is Lil Wayne Gangsta Shit. I love Lil Wayne.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like, do you know what? My shuffle is probably the best interpretation of the kind of person I am.
Okay. So it sums you up pretty solidly.
Yeah. Because you get Lil Wayne Gangsta Shit, you get James Arthur, you get Take Me to the King, you'll get everything. Yeah.
Okay.
Basically.
And Tully, what are your words to live by?
For one, live your best life. I really, really believe that. Like, it's not even a term of, like, a throwaway comment, but I feel like for the longest time, I mean, it's something I did when I was in a, like, awful relationship, blah, 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 blah. I didn't live my true self. I didn't live what was, according to me, what my best life was. And I was doing things to what pleased someone else and what was accepted by someone else. And I think from coming from that, I have learned to be like, no, son, like, live the best life that you possibly can do. Because it's, like...
and this is also one of my slogans, I can't come and die. And when I say that, people think I'm joking.
Yeah.
But I'm not joking. Like, yeah. I can't do things. I can't come and die. Like, I just not what I came to do here.
Absolutely.
Like, I came here to live life. Life is for the living, and I plan on living it. And that's definitely something I live by. Like, live your best life. I can't come and die, which is so aff, I'm very sure, but... whatever in it.
No, I like it. I like the sentiment. And I've heard you say it before.
Well, yeah, I say it often. There is one more. Oh, I also believe in being unapologetically yourself.
Okay.
Like, be yourself, whoever, like, loudly, shout it. No matter how, whatever version that is of yourself, literally shout it. And don't apologise for being it. And we're all very, very flawed, and that's going to be okay. But I think it's okay to be unapologetically you. Because when you are, people can't call you out for shit.
Absolutely.
So that's, like... you can't say, oh, you're this. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, say something. There's nothing else to say.
What now?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Tolly, thank you so much for coming.
Oh, that went so quickly.
Honestly, it does. It does go quickly. And I could genuinely talk to you forever.
Thank you for having me.
It's Where exciting. Can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter. I'm better in real life, but I'm also quite good on Twitter as well. But I am better in real life. My Twitter is Tolly, which is TOLLY_T. And that's the same as my Instagram as well. And you can find the podcast, The Receipts Podcast, on iTunes and on SoundCloud, which hopefully is going to be around for more than 50 days.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I was like, that's going to be a problem.
Ooh, yeah, but I think it'll be fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're on SoundCloud and we're on iTunes as well. And I do it with three other girls, Phoebe Park, Ghana's Finest, which we're now dropping, and we're calling out Audrey, and Melinda Sanchez, and of course, Taser as well, who's also part of it. You can catch him on 3 Shots. Mm-hmm. So I think I've plugged everything I need to plug.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I've got nothing coming
up.
Thank you so much.
We love you. This is